Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I'm here with Dr. Richard Tooley, and we're talking about something that is just a reality in our lives, and that is, as we've worked with churches and in church work and with schools, we realize there's a lot of angry saints around, and we've done one show on angry saints. Today, we hope to unpack it a little bit more, talk about power struggles or use of power, and I think I'll just ask you, Dr. Tooley, to begin it, you know, set the stage. Are we going to talk about a specific scenario and then unpack it, or how do you want to set the stage for us?
Well, let's do a specific scenario and then begin to unpack it. And the scenario I'm thinking of, and we'll make it a little more complicated than the color of paint in the ladies' restroom. You have a situation where one of the parishioners feels that another parishioner is doing it wrong. Maybe it's because they think they're a sinner. They're sinning or something like that. They saw something, they thought it was bad. So they begin to talk about them. And usually that conversation goes on behind their backs and, you know, goes around, rumbling around the church. And then eventually it reaches the level where the elders find themselves getting involved with it. And the pastor finds himself getting involved with it. So now you have church leadership getting involved in this situation. And then you reach the point where it becomes something that has to be taken to one of the church and business sessions, or, you know, they feel they've got to take it and they're going to disfellowship one of the parties. So all of this process up to there requires a little bit of unpacking, because a conflict occurred because two people have a problem with each other. So what happens in the church? I want to move this into the church a little bit. What happens in the church typically is that if a person has a problem with someone else, they do not follow the Matthew 18 principle all the time. So we can look at it, if you follow it and if you don't, we can see what happens on both sides of that. Matthew 18 principle basically says if someone's wronged, you go to them and tell them. And if they still don't change, you bring in a witness and then you meet with them. And it's all supposed to be done prayerfully and carefully. Okay, so we have all that. But in most times, I think there's a level of fear of doing that. And so what ends up happening is gossip begins to circle around the church about this particular situation. And then at some point, it's going to polarize the church for or against this situation. Now you have a conflict. When it reaches that stage, it's getting to the elders and the pastors to have to deal with. What do you do with that?
Yeah, and it... Let's say the conflict was that there was a belief, or, you know, as they sat in the church board meetings and they received these reports from the church treasurer, there was money that wasn't being handled how they thought it should be handled. So it was confronted in the board meeting, but still wasn't answered to their satisfaction. And so the gossip then starts, or the rumor starts, basically they're distrusting now the church treasurer. So what would you do?
Yeah, okay. So when you're in a situation like that, the question comes down, is the church treasurer trustable or not? That's the substantive question, correct?
Correct.
The easy way to deal with that is the audit. You know, auditors look to see mm-hmm. if the treasurer's done what they should do or they haven't done what they should do. Now, if the treasurer generally is not empowered to spend money without some authorization from church board. So likelihood in a situation like that, if they think, well, they haven't done everything they should, then they'd be able to go back and back into the minutes. But at times it gets a little shady because it's not an issue of whether the treasurer has done what they should, but how the treasurer is influencing the process.
Mm-hmm.
So then when it gets to that, now we have a really gray issue. You can't simply say, did the treasurer influence the process or not? It's not as easy as that. And this conflict can go one of two ways. If the person goes around saying, you know, the treasurer's been influencing this process and we're not getting what we should get because the treasurer's making up stuff, and they go around and do that, are they able to gain enough support? Because remember, all communities work on a coalition.
Mm-hmm.
So you develop a power coalition. And if you can get enough power behind you, now you become influential and changing, trying to change things for the better, so to speak. Now, the problem is, in that scenario, no one has followed the Matthew 18 principle. So we can start there.
Okay, so the Matthew 18 principle, you know, someone has offended you and you go to them and you go, you know, that was really hurtful. That really inhibits me from accomplishing what I think God has wants me to do in the ministry or in the church position that he's put me in. So you're casting a big shadow over my reputation, or you're making it seem like I'm dishonest. So you go to that, you get that far in the process. It's just with you and the person that, you know, said that about you, but it doesn't stop. Now, this is where it has...
Right. It doesn't stop. It usually escalates.
It has been my experience over and over again that...
Once that's been done...
Yeah, it's my experience over and over again that's where the Matthew 18 principle is dropped. There is no elder that wants to come with you. There's no pastor that really wants to take that on. So how can you follow the Matthew 18 principle?
Yeah, because when you get to that point, the elder and the pastor then are looking at, okay, is it politically all right for me to do this? You know, and I might sound cynical, but they really are thinking in terms of, is it politically okay to do this? And it's easy to rationalize it by saying, well, you just got it all wrong. You know, you just don't understand what's really happening. And no, this isn't an issue. And they can gloss it over. Or it's simply not politically good for them to do. And so they say, well, we don't have time to be able to deal with this. So you do have a hard time. And if you do have a pastor that will stand up and do it, sometimes that can exacerbate the situation instead of make it better.
Yeah, so the number one takeaway from this conversation is, if you can resolve the conflict at the smallest level, that's what you need to do.
And I think there's a principle in being able to do that we need to explore a little bit. That is, the soft answer turns away wrath.
Yes.
Now, if, for example, you were to go to someone, as the scenario is, and say to them in the Matthew 18 principle, you know, what you're doing here is casting a shadow on what I need to accomplish in the church. How you say that to them may make all the difference in the world. How do you think, or what do you see as the different ways in which that approach could be made that could actually have success?
Well, I've seen it, you know, in my own experience. I've seen parents that were upset. You know, when you're working with children, you're bound to upset some parent at some point in your career. And I could say to them, you know, I'm really sorry. I didn't know it was coming across that way. I didn't know that your child felt like I didn't like them, or whatever the case may be. And that usually was sufficient. It hasn't really ever been the parents that continue to chew the bone. It is somebody else who has heard this story. And I've even had parents come back and say, I'm sorry, you know, we got it all straightened out, but unfortunately so-and-so picked it up and now it's, you know, spreading like wildfire. And, you know, that soft answer really does turn away wrath. I think that's a great principle. I like the principle of using, you know, if I'm the one that has something upset, if I'm upset about what you've done, saying it in I language, I feel bad when you talk to me this way, or I don't understand, you know, I sound so much better than coming at somebody full frontal, you know, and criticizing or scrutinizing and undermining just to get even. That is really hard to combat. And then another thing I'd like to get in here, maybe I'll wait till we need to take a break. I want to talk about when people badmouth you and talk about you. So remind me when we come back, ways that you can handle that. And we've got to get into more strategies about creating win-win situations. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Wes Doffenbaugh, author of 21 Ways to Forgive. When Stephen was being stoned, he cried out, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." By saying this, he invested his pain in the bank of heaven. God will not waste your pain when you forgive. It will be invested. The guiltiest person at the stoning was Saul of Tarsus. He deserved a bolt of divine judgment that would have turned him into a grease spot on the road. Stephen's prayer gave God the right to strike Saul with mercy instead of judgment, and he became the great Apostle Paul. Once I was thinking of asking God to whack a few people, take them out with bolts of judgment, God showed me all I'd get would be grease spots on the road. He asked, "Would you rather have a grease spot or an apostle?" I said, "I'd rather have an apostle out of the deal." Friend, put your pain in the bank of heaven and ask God to strike that person with a bolt of mercy and turn him into something wonderful. You can contact me at encouragementexpert.com or email me at encouragementexpert@gmail.com. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion, and I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry, and I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support, so take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome back. I'm here with Dr. Richard Tooley, and we're talking about conflict in the church. And we just promised that we'd talk about some strategies. So prior to the break, we talked about, you know, a soft answer truly does turn away wrath. And I language, that using, you know, I feel this way, doesn't mean that the person's bad that you're talking to. You're not criticizing them. You're just saying how you feel. And then I wanted to talk about when someone starts the rumor mill against you. And, you know, Dr. Tooley, sometimes people are just plain jealous of you. And the harder you try to be nice and sweet and do your job even better, the more jealous they become. And that, I don't know of any way to combat somebody who's jealous except to just pray for them.
So I just heard a very interesting story. There's a school located somewhere in the Middle East that can't keep a principal. And it was very, very interesting to discover why. And it seems the culture is one of fighting culture.
Mm.
And when you go in to get what you need as a principal, you've got to be prepared to fight. Mm. You've got to yell, argue, fight. Mm. But you bring in a second, so that when the argument gets to a certain point, the second person can solve the problem. Mm. So in some cultures, this fighting establishes a level of respect that can happen. Mm-hmm. Well, when you take a look at our culture, especially the culture in America, American culture, we're such a melting pot that we have all of these different cultures mixed in. So you never know which culture is going to be the one that you're confronting. Mm-hmm. Most often, a soft answer does turn away wrath. But if you have to continually give that soft answer, if you are perceived as giving ground all the time, then you will also, in those kind of situations, get to the point where it becomes counterproductive to give that soft answer. It doesn't mean that your speech shouldn't be couched in Christian communication. Mm-hmm. You know, be couched in the kind of language that is not accusatory, because accusations are, you know, they're the playground of the devil. And also the other part of it, if you continue to give this soft answer in some cases, then it becomes a bullying issue. Mm-hmm. It never does find resolution. So one of the things to start with, in order to solve any of this, is to get facts and stick to facts. You can't state somebody else's facts. You can state your facts, but you can't state somebody else's facts. And you've got to remember that. And you also do have to be cognizant that sometimes you have to draw a line and say, you know, you're not pushing any further than this. This is as far as we're going to go with this. Mm-hmm. There will be a point in some of these situations where leadership has to do it. And I've been in situations where I've seen top leadership say, oh, we're not going to draw a line. Usually what ends up happening when top leadership won't take that role is you end up with a split. Mm-hmm. And yes, if top leadership can take that role, then you end up with a partial split. Those people who are disgruntled enough will leave, and the rest of them will adjust and stay on. They'll be happier.
That reminds me of the story where I was in a school board meeting, and these two people, they kind of empowered each other, started getting on my case. They would start needling me every single meeting. And even my superintendent said, you know, you're not being very respectful to your principal. But that's all he said. And the next time it was going again. These two people, the board chairman didn't defend me. Nobody defended me. Finally, I looked at them, and the issue was I had bought a electric pencil sharpener for the classrooms on the top level of the school, and I'd bought one electric pencil sharpener for the bottom classrooms. So there were four classrooms sharing two pencil sharpeners, and they felt that was just an uncalled for expense and an example of my extravagance. And I just kindly but firmly said, look it, if you are going to continue to get on my case about every little expenditure like this, then you need to find another principal. And I'm willing to walk out the door right now. And I said it just like that. And the lady started crying and got up and left the room. And then we just continued our meeting. Well, I don't think I won her friendship or the man's friendship over it. But the rest of the meetings then, I could do without this little needling stuff going on, you know, just really trying to pick something and just needle and needle and needle. I call that the silver bullet. You don't threaten to walk out of a job or to quit a job unless you have no other alternative. But the work was not being accomplished because we had to listen to them try to rile the other board members up against me because in that case I had bought a pencil sharpener. Other things were just even more minutia. They were just worried that I might buy the pencil sharpener. Finally, I bought a pencil sharpener and they had something to back it up, you know, that indeed here it is. She bought a pencil sharpener. So on top of all the stuff that we're talking about, you have to learn how to set your boundaries.
You bring up a very good point there, because if you think about what actually happened, it was a power struggle that was going on and they were bullying you in that particular scenario. So you pulled what you call a silver bullet, but what you actually did was two things. First, you set a boundary. And second, you demonstrated a level of power that they didn't expect. And it brought you to a level that they now had, maybe not friendship, but they had a level of respect for you that they didn't have before.
Yeah.
Which stopped a lot of the nonsense and a lot of the noise that was getting created.
Yeah, and I
and allowed progress.
I wished I had done it sooner. You know, and you always reflect on how you conduct yourself. It's wonderful when everything goes fine and no one's, you know, out to get you or jealous of you, but that is not always the case. And so you need to stop it. It just adds confusion if you don't stop it.
The soft answer is a great one. Speaking facts is a great one. The issue in most of conflicts in the end, if you can separate them out from that personality to substantive, then you're dealing with political conflicts that are power plays. Well, power plays essentially in the church are not substantive. They're personality issues. And power plays.
So it looks like we've lost Dr. Richard Tooley. This connectivity sometimes does that. So I'd like to recap. We've been talking about conflict among the saints and conflict resolution. And we mentioned that Matthew 18 principle. We are drawing from Glasser's research in the idea of using I language instead of attacking others. So to conclude, as we've discussed about conflict resolution, especially among saints and believers, remember to use I language. Keep it to the smallest denominator possible in your conflict. Don't talk bad about other people. And if someone's talking bad about you, go to them and say, I heard you were saying this about me. If you are, please stop. And if you aren't talking about me, well, you know, just disregard this conversation. That little phrase has stood by me through so many conflicts. And remember the Matthew 18 principle and love one another. Love one another. Love covers a multitude of sins. And with that, I'll conclude the show. Have a great day. And I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.